Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 396 of The Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. This week I'm joined by actor Brian Webb Russell as we're going to talk a little Nashville Shakespeare Festival and As You Like It. So we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of The Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hey, Putz, get off your fat tuchus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around, complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
All right, so I've had Brian Webb Russell upstairs on my futon for a couple weeks, waiting to talk about Nashville Shakespeare Festival's summer production. So, welcome, Brian. Stretch out. Yeah.
Took a nice nap. I'm feeling refreshed and heavy.
And you didn't sleep on that futon, I'm telling you that.
I've been sleeping on the futon.
So what's going on this summer?
Oh, let me stretch. Okay. The show this summer is As You Like It. Story of Rosalind, Orlando, and all the people that inhabit the Forest of Arden.
All right. And you are?
I am Old Adam, Sir Oliver Martex the Vicar, and Hymen, the goddess, god of marriage.
Hymen, the god of marriage.
And there, at least this week during rehearsals, Dee has cajoled Phil Perry and I into the idea of learning each other's parts. So I may be doing Corin the Shepherd, and he may be doing my three parts.
Mm.
She's at least smiled at us and said, y'all could do that, can't you? And Bill and I were like, okay.
Sure.
I would like to get through table work just doing my part, but okay.
Yeah, okay, all right. So what's been the challenge thus far? I mean, as we record this, your weekend, right?
We just started this past Monday, or started on July 14th, and rehearsals will go up to August 14th, which is the opening day. Denise has set this in 1934, post crash, but still in Depression era Tennessee.
Okay,
where they're kind of using the city of Arden as, she describes it as a Hooverville, but it's more of a bucolic, pastoral Hooverville.
Mm-hmm.
Arden is the Forest of Arden is now people that have been displaced for whatever reason, a lost job, or I just need to find my way past what's happened to me in the city. Mm-hmm. I need to find, you know, and into this area where there's a lot of farmers and people that are working the land, and they're learning how to deal with life and restructure their life again in the city, in the Forest of Arden.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It gets that idea of I've been displaced.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, the idea of Grapes of Wrath, mm-hmm, is kind of the take on this, that Orlando becomes a Tom Joad-esque kind of character where he's displaced. He's left
right
out. He has to move out to find his life again.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds it again with the person that he just met after fighting Charles the Wrestler. That cute girl that he saw after that.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept so far.
Well, that does, I mean, you know, sad to say that we've still and have gone through as a country. We, today, people are displaced and dislodged. Again,
and that's another reason that Dee chose that, because there's still the people that are in that kind of same kind of situation now, that maybe if they see this, it's like, oh, well, maybe there could be good times down the road. Faith. Just hold on a little longer, push a little further. Right. It might, you know, your pot of gold, your Orlando, your Rosalind, your Celia might be down there right by down the road. Your happy ending, you know,
right,
will be right there.
And always pack a pregnant woman to feed you when times are low, right?
Yeah, well,
grapes of wrath.
You can, yeah. And hope Grandpa doesn't die.
Yeah, right.
And Grandpa doesn't die. I get fed, right? I'm on my last legs, and I finally get fed by the banished Duke. It's very,
very touching.
Yeah, very touching. Especially the way I do it.
So what's been the challenge for you, the actor in this? I mean, this certainly is not your first time at this As You Like It, right?
Well, it's the first time with As You Like It. My friend that I did Romeo and Juliet with in Arkansas had just picked up a show that he was doing, and he listed off, it was during Shakespeare's birthday, and he listed off the number of shows that he had done, Shakespeare productions. And then I did the same thing, and I was listing off, I've done three Tempests. I've done three Merchant of Venice. I've done, you know, and all the ones that I've done multiply of two Othellos, three Comedy of Errors, six Hamlets, seven Macbeths, in whatever versions.
Right, sure.
Now, you know, granted, I include the puppet versions of Midsummer's and Hamlet and Tempest as part of my four, but I was going over that, and I was like, wow. And then all of a sudden I looked down, and I was like, no, I haven't done As You Like It. And always with, you know, with a new show, it's finding the show, learning about the show, getting the text. And that, of course, that's what we're doing in Table Work this week. We are really in depth, going line by line by line, scene by scene, and getting clear where we are, who we're doing, who we are, what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who we're doing may come later.
It's after you open, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just really clear intent on meaning, on speech patterns, on the difference why prose is here and why verse is here. Why, you know, the interesting thing in As You Like It, where a lot of court figures speak in huge chunks in prose, and a lot of the rustics speak in verse, which is very unusual for Shakespeare. It's usually the opposite way around.
Right.
Why is that? We're exploring reasons, and it's the cool part.
Right.
It's the cool part of you know, for a geek like me that kind of likes that kind of analysis sort of stuff.
Right.
It's really the cool part of
rehearsal. So would you say that's the charge for this script as far as doing that? The rehearsal of the types?
With any kind of concept, I feel with any kind of concept, the key is making sure that none of the pieces of the concept, there's no loose ends on any of it.
Mm-hmm.
That it all fits within how you're presenting the story. If you have a concept, you're doing, you know, Twelfth Night in 1920s gangster era Chicago. If you have any kind of loose end that doesn't fit, for me as an audience member, it takes me out. It's like, oh well, okay,
right.
You just lost me there.
Right.
But I'll listen to the rest of the play.
Right.
And that's kind of the key that we're doing here. Kind of the thing we're doing here is make sure that all those loose ends are dealt with early, or given a place, so that when we start working and start really putting it together, then everything fits correctly.
Right.
I think that's for me is what this week is about.
Yeah.
The challenge, as always with Summer Shakes, is getting the very the very youthful blend of talents that come in with the apprentice company, blended in with the more seasoned people, like Nat McIntyre, Derek Whitaker,
right.
Emily Landham, Amanda Card, Phil Perry, myself, Jay Powell. these are people that a lot of people, and Nat especially, have done a ton of Shakespeare, and to make sure the blend hits so that we're in the same show,
right?
And that's always the big challenge.
How many is in the company this year? The apprentice
company. It seems like with musicians, it seems like it may be, we'll be tilting towards, 22, 25.
Wow.
Or maybe more.
Yeah.
It's a hefty company. Now, at least in the circle that we're in now.
Sure. So the apprentice company has been at it for a while, haven't they?
They started a week prior, on the 7th of July. They were learning some of the dances. We're going to be doing buck dances and contra dances. They were learning some of the music. The music is going, several sections are going to be written exclusively by Americana performer David Olney.
Oh, cool.
Who's going to be doing Amiens in our show as well. And he's actually written some songs for the show.
Nice.
It's kind of exciting. We're going to be learning those. And we have a little band, hoedown band, at least four members that I've seen so far in rehearsal, plus David.
Right.
It's going to be kind of cool.
So, then you don't change it just slightly. You're talking about concepts. What's probably the, first let me ask you this. Have you, since you've done a lot of Shakespeare, have you found that it's something that you seek out, or that it just sort of happened because that was the job that you were able to get at the time?
It's starting to be things that I'm seeking out a little more.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the next two shows that I'm doing after that, I'm going down to Florida to do Neil Simon, which was my first go-to author coming out of college, doing Laughter on the 23rd Floor down at American Stage. And then also at American Stage next June, I'll be doing Lewis Black's One Slight Hitch.
Oh, okay.
So it's not, it's not definitely what I'm doing all the time, but it seems to be, part and parcel of who I am now.
Right.
I'm getting comfortable with it. And I never thought in 1987 when I was given the book to do Bassanio, when our Bassanio fell over handlebars of his bicycle at Horse Cave to do.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's horrible.
Having the guy playing Shylock, who's also the guitar artistic director, looking at me in the morning, and I'm still, waking sleep out of my eyes, and he's saying, "Good morning, Mr. Russell. You'll be doing the part of Bassanio today."
Oh, what?
And I was generic servant 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
I was like,
right.
And by the way, the lady that's playing Portia is my wife. So, so from that time, I never thought, I kept looking and I was like, I'll never be comfortable with this. And now Denise and I this past spring, did what we called a Bardolph. A battle, bard battle, for the kids at MBA.
Uh-huh.
They invited us to come in, and we basically went over, we got a list of shows that we knew some piece of or a monologue from, and labeled them down, and we just kind of rattled off between the two of us, and we were going through, and it's like, we know a lot, and a lot of that seems to stick better with me than some of the more contemporary stuff I do.
Uh-huh.
It's partially probably because of the patterns and the rhythm of it. It just gets ingrained, it gets into you, and you can pick that up, that up really easily. I wound up for that specific battle, picking up pretty much the whole end of the letter scene for Twelfth Night for Malolio.
Uh-huh.
It was like, and I just quickly, just like, wow.
Right. Right.
That was, I got that in less than 20 minutes, and it's back in my brain.
Yeah. I personally find it's harder to learn, but it lasts longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a battle for me to get it in there, but once it's in there, it's locked and loaded.
That will be my chore this weekend. Getting that in there so I can have it ready when we start rehearsals up. I think we're heading to the park sometime next week. So.
Right, right.
So I hope it stays the kind of weather it is today.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not rainy, but...
Not rainy, but nice.
It's nice to be out in.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You
might actually have to wear a jacket.
We might have, yeah. Well, we might have summer come back here.
I don't want to hear it.
And I think it's probably going to come back with a vengeance.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay,
I know how it can be out there.
Okay. So,
but yeah, just as... I mean, I've done the Winter Shakes several times, but this will be my first back out to the Winter Shakespeare Festival since 2006.
Oh, wow.
For various other reasons. Either I had had work or was heading to work or didn't want the conflict in rehearsal, you know, for auditions. I, you know, opted out of even trying. But so I have not been back out there since Macbeth.
Wow.
In 2006. And I've done a Macbeth for the Shakespeare Fest since then. So.
Well, there you go.
I know. So it'll be back to old familiar, but not familiar grounds.
What is old is new, and new is old again. So it opens on August 14th.
August 14th runs to September 14th.
Runs a month, basically, mm-hmm. And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and starts at sundown.
Okay. And you bring a picnic, BYOB, all that stuff?
Be discreet. You know, you can bring wine, but we don't really...
Okay.
Advertise that.
Okay.
But we can bring food. You can bring drinks. There will be a lot of trucks and food trucks out there. Usually, Arlo, Denise's son, has always run his snow cone stand. There'll be concessions. There'll be places you can donate for the Shakes Fest. They're trying to work now with the mayor's office and the city of Nashville to build their own facility on the other side of the park. The other side of the Parthenon, and they're trying to actually raise money within the next few years to make that happen. And this is going to be one of the kickoff shows for that. So
outstanding.
It's exciting. It's exciting times for the Shakes Fest.
Now they're also aren't they being highlighted?
It's another exciting thing. Trust from the university that is situated in Stratford has chosen Nashville. Nashville Shakespeare Festival is one of 14 American Shakespeare companies that they're highlighting in a tour around the summer and focusing on Shakespeare festivals and how the Bard is treated in America.
Right.
And Denise found out early this spring that Nashville Shakespeare is one of those festivals, which is a big feather in their cap.
Yeah.
And she and Donald and everybody on the board are totally excited about this.
Well, they should be, yeah.
It's, you know, as much as having ESPN come in and profile you because you have Eddie George in the show.
Yeah.
I think for geeks like, you know, Shakespeare geeks like Denise, this is even bigger.
Right.
This is even bigger for her. And it really is. It really is a show of where this company is, the stature of the company, and how it's grown in all these years when it started out, you know, trucks and cars gathered around in a circle, throwing light onto the actors so they could finish the show.
Right. Right. Well, those days. That sounds very exciting. I'd heard about that. I'm very, very happy that's happening for Denise and all the folks over there at Nashville Shakespeare.
I don't know. I don't have it off the top of my head. I don't have the exact name of the people that are involved, but if you go online, you can, on the Shakespeare Festival website, you can go online and find out exactly who they are and what they do and why they're coming to Nashville.
Cool. Well, again, I'll have.
I got to run. I got to go to rehearsal, man.
All right. Well, good. I'll have.
I got the futon.
Still? I'll save the futon for you. I'll have all those show links on
the. Can I have the poo sheet still?
Yes. I'll wash them. So I'll have the information on the show notes page for this particular episode.
Come on. Kind of poo.
Still need to wash the sheets, man.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. So I'll have the show notes page for this particular show on the show notes page. Information on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Brian, get out of here.
Okay. Bye.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Brian Webb Russell for hanging out and using my futon for the last couple weeks to talk about Nashville Shakespeare Festival summer production of As You Like It. All the websites and information we mentioned in the body of this podcast will be found on the links to it will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling the voicemail line 615-866-1282, or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show via Twitter @inexplicableds, @ICinexplicable, D S. Follow all the latest comings and goings of the Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. And next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about Playhouse Nashville's upcoming production of Darren Michaels' play, Scarecrows Will Never See the Sunset. Here's a little hint, I have something to do with it. So we're going to talk about that next week. So until next week, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil. Hello.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.